Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink, the podcast for anyone questioning their relationship with alcohol or simply wondering what more life might hold. I'm Anna Donaghy, alcohol mindset coach, author, and former strategist. And each episode is going to blend lived experience, psychological insight, and powerful tools to help you understand your habits and gently rethink your drinking in a way that throws open oodles of possibilities. So whether you're trying to quit, cut down, or you're just plain curious, then you are in the right place. Let's rethink things together and explore what you're really thirsty for. Hello, hello. Now, welcome back to the Big Drink Rethink. Today, I want to talk about a particular kind of person. You probably know someone like this. They know their HRV before they've said good morning to anyone in the house. They can tell you their sleep score, their readiness score, their recovery score. They know when they've entered REM and for how long. They've tracked their steps, their macros, their cortisol levels. There's a ring on one finger, a watch on the other wrist, and an app that sends them a weekly report on the quality of their existence. And then on Friday evening, they pour a large glass of wine or two, not because they forgot about the data, just alongside it, as if the tracking and the drinking occupy completely different rooms in the same house and neither is allowed to acknowledge the other. Right? As I said, you probably know one of these people. I'm not here to judge that person. There is no judgment on this show ever, ever, ever. You know that. But I am deeply fascinated in them because I think there's something in that image of that person that tells us something really, really important about where we've arrived as a culture and probably as individuals and in the way that we understand ourselves. And it is this. We are living in the most self-quantified era in human history, and we are understanding ourselves less. It is the paradox of self-knowledge. Think about what's available to us now that simply didn't exist 10 years ago. Goodness me, I don't even know what half this stuff is, but we can measure inflammation markers. We can track ovulation to the hour. I know what that one is, obviously. We can see our blood glucose spike in real time as soon as we've eaten a meal. And we know with remarkable precision what a bad night's sleep does to our reaction times, our appetites, and our emotional regulation. We have more data about our own bodies than any generation that has ever lived. And yet still, Friday evening rocks around and out comes the wine. It's really fascinating. It truly is, because the usual narrative around drinking and self-knowledge would go like this. Ooh, if only people could see the data clearly enough, then they'd make different choices. If only they could see what alcohol does to their sleep, then they wouldn't have it. Or how their HRV drops, then they wouldn't have a second drink. But it's not so. In other words, what we're saying is if we can make visible the effects, measurable and undeniable, that different behaviour will follow. But it's not what's happening. The person with the tracker has the data. They already know the scores drop. You know, they log the drinks themselves and yet they're still pouring the wine, which suggests that what's driving the behaviour isn't a lack of information about its effects. It's something the data doesn't reach. Now, here's what a tracker can tell you. It can tell you that you slept badly, right? Or that your heart rate variability has dropped. Or your recovery is a bit crap. It can correlate that information with two glasses of wine that you logged. In fact, a few weeks ago in the UK, Stephen Bartlett, on Diary of a CEO, he kicked up a right old storm on the internet when he talked about the fact that three glasses of wine had literally ruined about 3 days of his life. And it was all about this. It was this optimization culture, okay? So you can see what it does. You can correlate it, the wine and those metrics, and it can issue a gentle notification suggesting you might want to hydrate. It'll say to you, ooh, a little vibration, a little nudge. You might want to hydrate. But here's what it cannot tell you. It cannot tell you why you needed those two glasses in the first place. All three glasses, in Stephen Bartlett's case. Can't tell you why you needed them. Can't tell you what you were trying to put down, what you were tired of carrying, what you were asking alcohol to do on your behalf, whether that was to signal that the day was finally over or soften the edges of a role you're not sure you ever chose, or whether it was just to give yourself 15 minutes of being a person rather than a function. The tracker, in other words, measures the effect. It has nothing to say about the cause. And I think we're becoming so fluent in the language of effects, you know, scores and metrics and trend lines and weekly reports, that we have almost entirely stopped asking about causes. Because the data gives us something to do with our attention, right? It gives us a number to improve, or a notification to respond to, and a graph to inch in the right direction. It's productive and it feels like progress. But here's the thing about optimization culture when it's working exactly as designed. It removes enough friction that you stop feeling the need to change anything fundamental. You're not in enough discomfort to ask the harder question. The persistent low-level signal, that nagging sense of something in your life isn't quite right, loses its urgency. Your scores improve, and the discomfort gets quieter. And you take that as evidence that things are getting better. But the better your numbers get, the less likely you are to examine why you needed the coping mechanism in the first place. You're very effectively turning down the volume rather than listening to what it was saying. So here's a slightly controversial assertion. The wine and wellness routine are basically doing the same job by different means. One comes in a green smoothie, the other comes in a champagne flute or a wine glass. Both get a pass. Neither is asking the harder question. The tracker isn't helping you understand yourself more deeply. It's just helping you manage yourself more efficiently. And those feel very, very similar from the inside, but they are pointing in completely opposite directions. Now, just to be clear, I am not making an argument against tracking. Understanding your body is genuinely useful. Sleep data, very useful. Knowing your patterns, very useful. And there are people doing extraordinarily sophisticated work with this kind of data, using it not as the end point, but as a doorway into a much deeper conversation about what's actually going on for someone. But that deeper conversation requires a different kind of question, one that no metric can generate. Because the tracker asks how much, how often, what does the trend line look like over 30 days? It does not ask, what are you thirsty for? And that question, what are you thirsty for, doesn't have a metric. It has an answer, but the answer's not in the data. It's in the life. It's in the shape of your days. It's in the quality of your relationships, in the things you're not saying, the roles you've accumulated, the version of yourself you put down somewhere along the way and haven't found since. What are you actually reaching for when you reach for the drink? Not what is it doing to your HRV, what is it doing for you? In the moment, on a Friday evening, when everything else has been attended to, and you're finally, briefly alone, what is it doing for you? Because that question will tell you more about your relationship with alcohol than any tracker you will ever have. And it's also, and this part really interests me, is the question that points you towards what needs to change, not in your metrics, not in your metrics, in your life. Now, this is something I come back to a lot on this show and in my book and in my work. The idea that alcohol isn't the problem, it's the signal. It's pointing at something. And our job, if we're curious enough to take it on, is to follow the signal back to its source and ask what's actually there. What are the core things you need, genuinely need, as a human being that aren't being met? Connection, rest, autonomy, creative expression, a sense of meaning, the feeling of being seen. whatever it is for you specifically in the particular shape of your particular life, when those needs are being met, the drink changes its role. It stops being the thing that makes the evening bearable and starts being, if you choose to have it at all, just a drink, something you enjoy rather than something you need. And when they're not being met, no amount of data is going to close that gap when your needs aren't being met. You can optimize your sleep till the cows come home. You can track your macros and hit your step count. And Friday evening will still arrive, and the pull towards wine will still be there, doing the job that nothing else is being asked to do. So the question isn't, what does the data say? The question is, what is this drink telling me about my life? Now, next week, I'm talking to someone who I think holds a really fascinating answer to a lot of what I've just talked about. Lindsay Francis is a leadership psychologist, and she's a clinical sophrologist. She will, by the way, be explaining what the heck that means. And she's a behavior change specialist who has spent over 20 years working with CEOs, investors, and high-achieving leaders, people whose lives look, from the outside, like the destination many people are working towards. And she uses diagnostic data, including wearable tech, as part of her work. But the way she uses it is completely different from what I've just been describing, because for Lindsay, the data is the beginning of the conversation and not the end of it. It's the doorway, not the destination. She also carries something really quite rare, which is a view from both sides of this conversation. She's a long-term AA member herself. And what she has to say about what the boardroom and the AA room have in common, I think is going to really stay with you. So do come back for that. It's a conversation I found genuinely moving, and I think you will too. And in the meantime, if today's episode has landed anywhere for you, here's the question that I'll leave you with. Not your sleep score, not your recovery percentage, just this. What are you thirsty for? All right, I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening and getting curious. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're choosing to listen. It really helps other people find the show. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode. And you can find all of my resources and become part of the Big Drink Rethink by heading to my website, thebigdrinkrethink.com.